there. Welcome to Simple Acts, Big Impact, celebrating teen changemakers. I'm your host, Natalie Silverstein. I'm an author, philanthropist, and passionate advocate for family and youth service. On this short weekly pod, I have the honor of meeting tweens, teens, and young adults who are volunteers, advocates, nonprofit founders, activists, and fundraisers. My goal is to celebrate and amplify these big-hearted people and the work they're doing, and to inspire you all, no matter your age, to find your purpose and passion through meaningful service to others. I firmly believe, and these conversations will convince you, that every person can make a difference, one simple act at a time. I'm sure I don't need to tell you that Election Day is next Tuesday. My guests today, Isaac and Rainin, are the founders of an organization called OutVote, which is building a youth-led culture of LGBTQIA+ civic engagement. This is such an important conversation for everyone, even if you or the teens in your life are not yet old enough to vote. Everyone can be involved in our democracy, fighting for the issues they care about and working to strengthen our communities. Welcome back, everybody. This is a really important time of year. The election is coming up next week, and I have really important guests on today to tell us about an organization they started called OutVote. I am so thrilled to welcome Isaac and Rainin. Why don't you guys tell us a little bit more about yourselves, and then I want you to tell us everything about your organization. Why don't you start, Isaac?
Cool. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having us. We're stoked for the opportunity to share more about OutVote, talk about the election. We know, just like you said, how important it is for everyone to be engaged in a way that makes sense for them. So that's what me and Rainin are trying to do through OutVote. You know, we are both in the LGBTQ advocacy space. We both have backgrounds in government and public service work. And both of us kind of have looked at this election and realized that there's a huge gap to fill around specifically LGBTQ voter mobilization in the Gen Z community of which we're a part. So that's the big picture, but I'll pass it to Rainin to let him introduce himself as well.
Sure. Hello, my name is Rainin, like the weather. I use he and his pronouns, and I'm one of the co-founders along with Isaac. And like Isaac said, we are big believers that citizenship is a practice, and we're really excited to make sure that the LGBTQIA community are active participants in our democracy, and that we're making sure that our voices are going to be heard.
And are you guys college students, or are you graduates already, or how old are you?
We're recent college grads. I'm 24. I graduated from UT Austin in May of 2022.
Very good. Hook 'em horns. How about you, Rainin?
And I'm 23. I graduated from Washington University in St.
Sure.
Louis in 2020.
Of course. That's right. Awesome. Well, you are slightly older than my typical guest, but that's okay. This is such important information, and I'm really excited for you to share this with our audience. You know, my audience consists of young people. You know, I think tweens and teens, and probably some parents listen and encourage their teens to listen. And I want right off the bat for you to talk about what teenagers can do to get involved in this work, because they probably are sitting back and thinking, well, I can't vote because I'm not 18. And so therefore, my voice doesn't matter. And I want us to really kind of dive into that a little bit. But why don't you first off, why don't you tell us exactly what OutVote is doing? What is your platform? How do you get your work done? Tell us everything right from the very beginning.
Cool. Okay, let's start at the beginning then. I think that's a great mission. And I think OutVote could be a really cool way for young people to get involved, like Rainin said. But, you know, kind of looking back, really, it was a year ago right now. And as we speak to you in August of 2024, it was August of 2023 that Rainin and I were also in D.C. at the time. I was coming off work at the White House. Rainin was coming off work at the Hill. And both of us had this really deep belief in the people we were working for and the work that was being done at the federal level because of the people who were elected to office, but especially for our LGBTQ community, right? But then we looked around at our Gen Z young people, our community members that also share similar identities as us. And we felt that there was a certain lack of belief, a lack of, you know, confidence, a disillusionment with electoral politics, a lack of belief in the system. And while Rainin and myself both, you know, it's important to critique the system and want to fix the system, we believe that the best way to make a difference in this field is through electoral politics. And at least one of the key ways to do that is through electoral politics, right? So it was a discussion between the two of us where we were like, you know, maybe in the future we could see ourselves working to fill a gap in LGBTQ voter mobilization. And Rainin was like, let's do this tomorrow. Why don't we just start doing this work now? what's the why not rush this? And I was like, okay, yeah, true. And, you know, I wasn't sold, but over the course of a few months, Rainin sold me. And I think, you know, it was after a field scan of relevant movement organizations in the pro-democracy and LGBTQ advocacy space that we realized this gap was really significant. And we felt that we had the network and background and skills and community to fill that gap. So we put together a steering committee of other young people that were interested in leading on this work. Around February of 2024, we achieved fiscal sponsorship through the Future Coalition in March, April of 2024, and had an official public launch at the end of April of this past year. And so Outvote has this mission of building a new culture of civic engagement in the LGBTQ community, right? Focusing specifically on queer and trans young people. We're doing that through a comprehensive fellowship program that hires youth organizers in Arizona and Pennsylvania to conduct that LGBTQ on the ground organizing in their communities during the fall 2024 Get Out the Vote election season. So over the course of the summer, we're now on week 8 of an 8-week training series that we've put these hired fellows through that gives them access to resources and skills and speakers who are experts in their craft. And then they're equipped with a resource fund that they're also able to utilize to organize their communities in the fall. So it's really been a fantastic journey of reaching out to young people, working with young people as young people ourselves, trying to make a difference in this movement. And we're really excited to see what we can do this fall. We're a new organization, right? So a lot of this fall is seeing what we can do and taking what works in the future and scaling it up. Because we know that this is not just a gap that needs to be filled in 2024, but a gap that will continue to need to be filled going into future elections, right? Because although this is the most important election of our lifetime, it's not the last. And we want to continue being a presence into the future. So, Rainin, feel free to take the gaps. I'm sure I missed a lot.
And absolutely. And Rainin, please tell us, you know, again, I love this, the work that you're doing, training people to kind of go out and do this work in the field at a grassroots level. So tell us how you're funding that. What does that look like? Are you getting grants to do this work? What does the training consist of? Who helped you to put the training together? You know, this is really like, it's a big thing and you pulled it together since February and the election, you know, this is everything changed over the summer in such a big way. So tell us more about the details here.
Absolutely. And I wanted to also encourage people to still get involved, even if they aren't 18 yet. So I want to tell people a bit more about how they can get involved with Outvote and where they can find more information. Our website is outvotehq.org. So if you go on our website, you can find out more, not just about our fellowship program, but about our team and also about our ambassador program. So no matter how old you are, you're eligible to register as an ambassador and represent Outvote's values and host a voter registration drive or voter mobilization event in your community. You don't have to be 18 in order to do this. So if you are in a high school and there are seniors who are eligible to vote, this is something that will be great for you. Our ambassador program is our national volunteer network that is doing voter registration and voter mobilization work across high schools and colleges across the United States. And they're also representing Outvote's brand and spreading our message about making sure that people are going to be involved and turning out the vote in their communities and going out and making their voices heard. Second, I would also say that there are so many ways to get involved in the election and to get involved with our democracy, even outside of voting. Obviously, if you are going to turn 18 by the election and you're 17 now, you should look into the voter registration policies. Many states will allow you to pre-register at 17 so that by the time that you are 18, you are eligible to vote immediately and that you'll be able to go to the ballot box and make your voice heard. If you are not going to turn 18 by the election, however, do not despair. There are still many ways to get involved. The first election that I knocked on doors for was when I was 12 years old in middle school. That was the first election I ever got involved with. The first time I ever called my representative was when I was 15. I called him every day, 3 months in a row until he gave me a call back. So no matter what age you are able to get involved in your democracy. The first voter registration drive I hosted was when I was 16. The first candidate and campaign I worked for was when I was 14. So I would highly encourage people to get involved with these campaigns and with these opportunities and to remember that no matter how old you are, as long as you have a political worldview and you have a set of values, you can make those values heard by getting involved. Go protest, sign a petition, call your representatives.
Absolutely.
And some parts of the country, you can even run for office under the age of 18. routines. So, hey, look into that. Really cool opportunity.
Absolutely. Well, you know, you raised a really great point about registering. I believe I had another guest on last season who mentioned that perhaps in some states you can even register at 16, like pre-register, which is amazing. But right, all of these things that you mentioned, you know, working for a campaign, leafleting, driving people to the polls, right? Driving the elderly to the polls. If you can drive, if you're 16 and you have a license, a lot of campaigns will offer to drive elderly people who can't get there on their own. It's such important work, and also just a really wonderful service that you can do for those who are marginalized in your community. But voter registration drives, as you mentioned, like there is so much you can do, especially if you care very deeply about the issues, which I think young people absolutely do. And in this case, the issue that you're particularly interested in, I mean, this is such an important part of this election and every election moving forward. So, you know, this all came together very quickly, it seems like. How is the funding done? Have you received a lot of grants? It sounds like you pay your fellows or your ambassadors. So tell me more about that piece.
Yeah, we really want to make sure that, you know, our fellows are paid for their work. And so that's why we've offered a $1,000 stipend to every single one of our fellows, because we know that their time is valuable. As young people, we're busy. A lot of them are in undergrad and college, and we want to make sure they're compensated for their time and also encouraged to do this work. So that's why we've also offered incentives for them to overperform in their voter registration, voter mobilization, voter engagement work. But then you raise a fantastic question. Where are we getting this money? As young people, that's a good point. We're not oftentimes taken seriously, right? We're like, hey, we're trying to do this project. Can you give us money? We've gotten many, many no's. And it's a really opaque world to navigate, the whole world of fundraising and political fundraising, especially as a young person who just hasn't been exposed to this type of work before. So that's really why we've leaned a lot on just our personal networks, right? And I think it's, you know, in the past few years, we've both done internships and had mentors and done work around LGBTQ civic engagement, whether that looks like working for members or working for nonprofits or working for philanthropy. Like just the like internships we've had, we've been able to really find people who support us and believe in us. And from there, it's kind of just like straight up making the ask, right? It's like, hey, can you introduce me to someone you know who might be interested in learning more? Hey, can you pass along this email to your newsletter? Like it's really the most simple things that can cascade to, you know, a donor who's offering $5,000 because he saw us in a newsletter. The next thing you know, he's offering to match us, you know, to help meet our fundraising gap. So it really happens in ways that you don't expect. We've also been lucky enough to receive grant funding from organizations, including the Human Rights Campaign Foundation. We're part of their inaugural Pride to the Polls coalition. So they've offered us a small financial incentive to be a part of this incredible coalition of other members, including PFLAG and Point Foundation and SAGE. So we've been really lucky to be a part of that. Then other smaller foundations, including Riley's Way Foundation and Blue Future and a collection of others, including Vote Save America, which is Pod Save America's spending campaign to mobilize young voters ahead of the election. So anyways, all that to say, it's not from one person or two people. It's from a collection of individuals that believe in the collective power of this work. And we just feel really lucky that we've been able to get the support that we need to pay those fellows and make sure that we're doing this work on the ground in the most thoughtful way.
And let me add, because I feel like I would not be doing my job if I didn't plug this, but we just got a very generous match from a donor who is going to match every dollar up to $20,000. Course of the election. So if you are listening and you have $25, $5, $10, I hope you'll come and chip in to either our C3 or our C4 funding. Just go to our website and you can donate there to our ActBlue, or you can email us for information how to make a C3 contribution.
Right. No, absolutely. And, you know, a couple of things that you've both raised here. Isaac, you mentioned, you know, you got a lot of no's. I say this almost every episode, like the worst thing that someone can say to you is no, right? And you won't know if you don't ask, right? You're not going to give the person an opportunity, you know, if you don't give them an opportunity to respond, then you have no idea what the outcome is going to be. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take, right? So putting yourself out there, having a really important cause, being very passionate about it, showing how you're going to get the work done. And you have a really solid model here, obviously, to get this work done. This is how the fundraising happens. And as you've also pointed out, it begets itself, right? So you get one grant and then you get another grant, and then you use those grants to parlay into other to other grant applications and other donors and things like that. And a match is a really, really wonderful, valuable tool because everybody can get behind the fact that I only have $10 to give you, but my $10 becomes $20 because of the generosity of someone else. So I think matches are super important. There's a whole chapter in my book on fundraising. And I believe that, you know, again, young people have this incredible ability to just let a no sort of roll right off their back and say, thank you very much, and move on to the next person because the next person might be a yes, right? So Rainin, can you tell us, I'm sure there have been plenty of obstacles and challenges that you guys have faced in doing this work and how you might have overcome them. Any kind of wisdom that you can provide for someone else who wants to get into this work?
I think one of the best traits to make sure that you're successful in this work is to be resilient and to take every no as redirection or as an opportunity to one day go back to that person and say, look at what more we've done. Are you interested now in supporting our work? I think that, like Isaac mentioned earlier, oftentimes when you're young, people are going to presume that you don't know what you're doing and not want to put their money where their mouth is. A lot of people love to talk about how important it is for young people to get involved. Very few people want to put their money to make sure that we're turning out LGBTQ voters, turning out young voters, and making sure that our voices are heard. We are really grateful that we have met amazing people who are willing to support us in that way. And I would tell every young person out there that you are an expert in doing the work that you want to set out to do. You are never too young to change the world and follow your dreams. And I hope that you know that there were people out there who do believe in you. So you just need to go out and find those people. Every no is just leading you in another direction. Every yes is a sign of support that you should take and really internalize as validation that people are recognizing you and recognizing your work. The type of work that we're doing about LGBTQ youth engagement in the election, this is something that we know best because this is literally our demographic. A 60-year-old coming in with the best of intent, with 40 years of organizing experience, will not understand how they can provide for community better than we can. So making sure that you are making that pitch clear and reframing your youth as something that is actually a good thing. You have the expertise and the knowledge that you need to go into your field and to make an impact. That is something that I think can help people reframe. And again, keep pushing forward, keep believing in yourself. I believe in you, and I don't even know you, but I believe in you and the work that you're going to do, and know that you are able to change the world as long as you put your heart to it.
Well, you know, you raised a really great point here is if people running for office want young people to vote because you're such a huge voting block, right? And they want people to get out to vote. Who better to engage that populace? Who better to get out there and encourage people to vote than people who speak the same language, right? Who are in the same generation? By not offering a seat at the table to people like you, to say, this is how we're going to reach young voters. This is how we use social media. This is how we engage people. You know, as you mentioned, a 60-year-old and all of the tools that he or she might have from years of organizing and years of trying to get out the vote, they don't know how to speak to young people. You guys do. And I just love that your tenacity in this regard and your resilience and your ability to just kind of go for it. And all of these organizations that are supporting you, they recognize the value and the strength of your model. Well, guys, this is really very impressive and gives me a tremendous amount of hope. And I hope that all of my listeners can agree that everybody needs to get out there and vote. They need to vote their values and their conscience, and they need to vote for the country that they want us to be, the kind of democracy that we want to be. And so you all doing this work is really special and important. Isaac, can you tell everybody again? I know we mentioned the website, so repeat the website name and any social media, any other ways that they might be able to learn more, get in touch, all that good stuff.
Absolutely. So just one more time, our website is outvotehq.org, and our Instagram is similar except for the .org. It's just outvotehq. So that's OUTVOTEHQ.
Well, Isaac, Rainin, I am wishing you the best of luck. This is such important work. Thank you for doing it. Good luck in the weeks to come. This episode is airing right before the election, so we're all keeping our fingers crossed for a good outcome. Thank you so much for sharing this information with us. Have a great day.
Amazing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks so much for listening. If you were inspired by what you heard today, please follow, rate, and review. These things really matter. And if you know a tween or a teen who is doing great things in his, her, or their community, send them my way. I'd love to meet them and share their stories with a world that could really use a dose of inspiration right about now. You can get in touch with me through my website, simpleactsguide.com.
Until next time, remember to keep eyes, ears, hearts, and minds open to the needs of others, and always be kind.